Hello and welcome to our Minty Fresh podcast, Legends of Philadelphia. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Trove, and this is my best friend and business partner, Johnny Zito. Joining us on engineering duties is founder of the Funky Bunch, Brian Bierman.
Take that, Marky Mark.
You might be asking, isn't this podcast just an advertisement? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Johnny Zito and I have a t-shirt business, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes. Lots of times customers will ask, why do you call fire hydrants plugs? And they want to know how to play cornhole. I don't know how to play cornhole. Bocce ball, I guess. This next second draft. So we decided to start a podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you. How was that? Should I do it again?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I like that the beginning is like, isn't this just an advertisement? No. Now, go to South Fellini.
Last week, I said about asking for likes and hearts or stars, and then one of them actually disappeared. So I'm going to stop. We lost
wow,
the review.
Wow, really?
No.
Someone
it was like
gave
they just
a
like
bad
just
review?
Removed review.
They took it away.
So you don't beg.
Wow.
I guess that's the lesson. Okay, then we won't mention our Instagram, Twitter, website, or Facebook page where people can find us at South Fellini.
Yeah.
And we won't talk about how the store is open on the weekends for curbside pickup. Yeah, I guess actually maybe now is a good time to kind of talk about what we hope for South Fellini in the near future in what looks to be a increasingly less COVID-influenced lifestyle.
Yeah, and I guess in the tradition of South Fellini constantly changing.
We haven't reached our final form.
We've never reached our final form.
We're like Shin Godzilla.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting grosser.
Shin Godzilla. Why is everything about Godzilla all the time, John?
I didn't bring it up.
Bierman was bursting. He wanted to say it. I got in there for him. I was just opening it up. I was just opening it up.
It's like Mothra when she comes out of her cocoon.
So we're no longer in the fashion district, the gallery. We're no longer really a display showcase store boutique.
Much less boutique-y, yeah.
And more just a lives in the cloud and lives in your minds and hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 1507 East Pasadena.
Well, I mean, you can come pick up your order there on Saturdays between 11 to 5, but it's no longer a shop. It's no longer a store, and it's not what we used to have. Sal the dog would work there sometimes, and other funny things you can come in, but we're probably going to stay a pickup spot as opposed to a store.
Yeah. Anybody who's been over there, we have a neat little setup on the weekends when you come by, with a plastic shield to prevent human contact as we pass people their orders. And it's kind of like people are getting the vaccine now and things are starting to open up, but it's not the same for everybody. It's not happening at the same rate. And so, in an effort, to be better safe than sorry and not contribute to anything that might be getting ahead of ourselves or opening up too soon, we're going to just kind of roll on with the way things are and try and keep doing these scavenger hunts and more interactive events and try and provide that kind of experience.
Online experiences.
Yeah.
Podcast. Funny content. Tweets.
Tweets.
Bierman's retweets.
Yeah, I
retweeted. We're going to expand more of our online presence, I guess, since we can't be out on the streets like we used to be.
Yeah, and the city won't commit to, even today, this morning, I read an article, the city won't commit to opening up any kind of opening up schedule for April and May. And so, the earliest we're looking at anything like that is still July. And hopefully, outdoor festivals come back then. And then, hanging outdoors seems to be okay. And you know, people will still wear masks, I imagine, even if they're getting vaccinated and hanging out in big crowds. And
I heard John Philip Sousa is going to play.
Oh, no. He's playing the Parkway. I am first in line.
That's from 30 episodes ago.
30 episodes ago.
Maybe more.
I think it's longer.
So we called the last minute audible this week and decided to cover the Hers snack food company today. So this was a bit of a last minute thing. We didn't come prepared with lists, just, you know, what's on the top of our heads.
We don't need, this is like, I've been living this episode my whole life, so I don't need to prepare.
Hers is a Pennsylvania-based brand of snack foods, most notable for their variety of potato chip flavors. While their products are sold throughout the eastern United States and Canada, the one-ounce chip bags have been a staple of Philadelphia lunches for as long as anyone can remember. So today, we're going to dive into Hers history and try to discover the tastiest flavor chip.
They're always like the add-on, like you go to like a cart and be like, give me a sausage sandwich and bag of chips.
Give me some crisp and tasty.
I needed more sodium on top of that sandwich.
And as we all know, the best flavor, salt and vinegar.
Barbecue.
No, guys, you can't agree on anything.
Barbecue. Salt and vinegar.
I had barbecue chips for dinner last night.
Salt and vinegar. I told you to get the banh mi, and you got that instead?
Well, I'd have to walk.
I would have brought it to you.
No, you wouldn't have.
But I'll do it if you make a reaction video of you eating it.
Okay. What if I'm like, this isn't that good though?
It would be some sort of trick photography, because that would be impossible.
There's nothing in that sandwich. He's faking it.
A baguette filled with lies.
I posted on our Instagram. I was so excited about it. I had to like share it so many places. It was,
you get a banh mi.
It was just one of the best banh mis I ever had.
I'm gonna eat Hers with it. Did you put Hers on chips on it?
No.
Yeah, did you put your chips on your sandwich?
No, but I did have salt and vinegar chips later. You know, it's like the second meal, you know. Salt and vinegar is the best. It hurts so good. It's like
It's good. Listen, we all know I've been open about trying to find the barbecue and salt and vinegar. That bag of chips would bring us together, but we can't have it because they don't make it anymore.
Tearing people apart.
Tearing people apart.
If you're listening, bring people together. Bring back the combo flavors.
Come on, Hers.
Did you guys gravitate specifically towards Hers chips when you were a kid, or when you do your grocery shopping now, or is it just like any barbecue will do?
No, Hers barbecue.
Yeah.
They feel like they're as much part of every barbecue like chicken is, you know, or a hamburger. Like it just and Hers chips. Like it's almost doesn't even have a brand. It's just a symbol of something, you know?
Yeah, it's like Tasty Cake, where it was like when I was a kid, I didn't even realize, like, oh, everybody doesn't have.
Everybody doesn't have. Yeah, so that's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's a thing?
I love the chips, but I think I definitely gravitated towards the shiny bags. When they were up against any other snack food, they have these like glossy, shiny red, blue, yellow, gold. It's pretty hot. Yeah, it's nice. And
the ripples have the shiny red.
Yeah.
Yeah, get in my face, Andy Cap. I want your hot fries.
No thanks. No
thanks. Get out of my Lays. Face. Yep, Lays.
Jay Leno and your Doritos. Get out of here.
Jay Leno.
Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
30 years.
Yeah. As we all know, Doritos spokesperson Jay Leno
is still collecting residuals off that commercial.
Oh, God. The podcast is just like, hey, you remember the shit? No, I don't. No one else does know what I'm talking about.
No.
Remember this old ad?
Our new ad's about this old ad.
People even ask, he's like, do episodes about a TV show that's shot here or movies that's shot here? We're like, how about ads?
How about commercials?
How about commercials?
That's all we, that is like all we eventually, it's funny we don't just do that because that is always what we end up coming back to, old commercials.
Oh my God. Yes, yeah.
Does hers do chip commercials? I can't think of a TV ad for them.
I mentioned this on another episode. I worked on a hers commercial.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it was a 2-day shoot, and Jim Herr was there.
Yes, the Jim.
The Jim Herr, and it shot.
You did tell me this. Yes.
Yes. It was 10. It was 10 locations in 2 days. They shot some of it in Spanish. Like,
wow. Did Jim Herr speak Spanish?
Probably. And I remember I was like a prop guy, and I had to go to the Herr's factory, and they filled a truck up with chips. And I remember they were loose. Oh. No, they were in boxes, but it was like a whole truck full of chips, and they were like the top quality. They're gonna be on TV, you know. So I remember
these are their best chips.
They're the best chips, and Jim Herr Jr.
They've been saving these potatoes.
They were like who's gonna eat these? Jim Herr. They're gonna send them the mixed bag that no one likes
with the brown or the green chip inside. No one wants
not a burnt one. They were all tens.
Yeah.
I do remember because you told me he ate them the whole time. Jim Herr Jr.
He
kept eating the props.
And I thought, I remember thinking, isn't this guy sick of eating these? And then like nope. And I started we shot a lot. We shot a lot of that commercial. There was dogs on it. I was on set props. They handed me a puppy and they're like, you shoot this. We shot a Pat Steaks at 5 a.m. Like people eating cheesesteaks and
if we can find that on YouTube and put it in the Visual Companion this week.
It was an ambitious project. Like a music video, but for chips.
And I talked about wanting to go to the factory thing when I was a kid. And then I wrote that letter to hers, whatever episode that was, over the Christmas.
Yeah, when they told you to leave them alone.
Yeah, they said leave Jim Herr alone. He's not giving you another autograph.
Please stay 50 feet away from the Hers chip factory.
How many is enough?
Okay, I guess a little history on hers. In 1946, Jim Herr, then 21 years old, the original Jim Herr, registered a small potato chip company in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Initial sales averaged approximately $30 a week in 1946.
Not bad for 1946.
Fine, I'll look up how much $30 in 1946 was. That's what you were hinting at.
That's what that pregnant pause was. In 1949, Jim opened a 3,600-square-foot factory in Willow, PA, to expand the business. Jim and his wife, Mim, lived in a house adjacent to the bakery. In 1951, a factory fire sparked by cooking oil threatened to end the whole operation, and the whole factory burned to the ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that must suck.
Yeah, it was...
That could have been it. I could have never had hers.
Yeah. That was where they lived, too.
Like a butterfly flaps its wings, you know? It's like...
They were homeless and jobless after that fire. So it was only through the grace of their friends in the town and the community that helped them stay afloat. And the tragedy gave Jim a chance to create a whole factory from scratch in Nottingham, PA. He designed the whole process there with automated equipment, eliminating the fire hazard and increasing production. So he went from this little kitchen business to having a huge factory within just a few years.
Oh, he's dealing with that Robin Hood.
Right, in Nottingham.
Oh, he's dealing with those merry fellows.
Stealing his potatoes.
I heard they rigged the archery competition. It's rigged.
I hope someone calls the sheriff.
$30 in 1946 is worth $404.64 today.
He made $400 a week.
When I was 21, my side hustle did not equal that, so not bad.
Yeah.
Or my main hustle. So.
Yeah, my main hustle doesn't. I don't make that now. So
there you go.
I'm going to put this out there. Jim Herr's wife's maiden name is Hershey, and I couldn't find if she was related to the Pennsylvania Hershey.
That's scandalous. Yeah. They probably had it erased from the internet. Like,
I wonder. I actually did look up a Hershey family tree, and I could not find her on it. So maybe, but it was definitely incomplete.
She started dating the Herr's guy, and they kicked her out of the family. It was a scandal. It was like Romeo and Juliet. Montagues and the Capulets. Hershey's and the Herr's, they can't get along.
Yo, have you ever had some chocolate and a plain Herr's potato chip, though? It's fucking really good. You eat them at the same time.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
This is why they don't want you to know about the association, probably.
Yeah.
It's too much for
people.
They don't
want people to know this.
Yeah, Hershey Kiss it's sweet and salty. I see what you're... this is...
Perfect combination, yeah.
We should maybe just end this episode right now.
Yeah, shot.
The music.
If any of us
play the music.
Ends up in a ditch in the next 3 weeks, we all know what happened.
Fell off the roof of South Fellini.
According to a 1956 article about the rise of the snack food industry, which was published in Barron's National Business and Financial Weekly, at the time, corn chips, pretzels, popcorn, peanut butter crackers, crackers with cheese, and fried bacon rinds were being introduced into Herr's snack food line and were immediately popular with consumers.
This is just like the other episodes about Tasty Cakes and all. It's like post-World War II single-serving products.
Yeah. Yep.
I see the appeal.
Yeah, and again, like regional, like all these different places had their own potato chip companies and taking over regional markets or whatever, and Herr's was the dominant one here. Then in 1958, the company began to experiment with flavored potato chips by adding seasoning to the cooking process. They were the first to introduce flavored potato chips in Pennsylvania. So this had been done over in Europe, definitely. I couldn't tell if it was done anywhere else in the United States, but in Pennsylvania, they were definitely the first to introduce flavored chips. And the first flavored chip that Herr's produced was barbecue. And it's the same formula that they use today. That's what it says on their website.
Wow.
Yeah, they continue with the same
that's
formula.
That's pretty amazing.
Why mess with it?
And then I looked up a bunch of stuff about seasoning and how they season chips, and salt and vinegar specifically is like one of the first potato chip flavors from over in London. I think they came up with it. And it involves a process of like drying out the vinegar and applying it, because you don't just like soak the chip in vinegar. Otherwise, when you cook it, it doesn't have the flavor. You have to like apply it afterwards. And this was all stuff that I guess was being found out, like Drove said, like post-World War II, as people were like consuming these like... these like treats when they went out to like public events or like carnivals and stuff like that. That's where they were primarily being sold. So after they started experimenting with different flavors, a wide variety of potato chip would soon follow in the years to come, including salt and vinegar, no salt, slightly salted, sour cream and onion, pizza flavor,
whoa,
Pennsylvania,
wow.
Yeah, dill, cheddar, and Pennsylvania Dutch, which I don't know.
What does Pennsylvania Dutch mean?
I have no idea what that tastes like.
Yeah. Amish people.
Is that root beer, maybe?
Maybe it's root beer. The only other thing I can think of that's Pennsylvania Dutch is that root beer.
That's what I would imagine. That's the only thing I could think of. Dill. I bet that was fun.
I've had dill chips. Dill chips are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pizza. What does that mean?
Yeah. I'm surprised they did it back then, and they because I've never seen hers.
I've never seen pizza chips either. No.
I feel like when people say things are pizza chips, it's like oregano-y is what they mean. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
if
that would be.
Maybe we got to get at the bottom of this.
Yeah, let's go back in time just to eat these chips.
We have to get them to dig up the recipe. Yeah.
Hey, I made a time machine. Did you stop 9/11? What? No, I had pizza chips. They're pretty good. They're not great. I wouldn't buy them. But...
I could see why they stopped making them. I could see.
Yeah.
Did you stop?
No, but here's some Pennsylvania Dutch chips.
Yeah.
It's interesting, right?
I didn't know what they were going to taste like, but it apparently tastes like fruit beer.
Well, Well, I guess that's why we don't have a time machine. We don't get to make those decisions.
Who are the people who are getting...
Listen, how am I going to stop Hitler? You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to happen. Just because I can go back in time doesn't mean I'm going
to
kill Hitler.
Doesn't mean
so I might as well get something that's easily... I can buy a bag of chips in the 50s. Like, that I can do.
I guess it's the least you can do without upsetting the time stream, you know?
No, I come back to Earth and it's like pizza chips are the president now.
Yeah.
No. Or they're like potato chips. What are they? And I'm like, no. What am I gonna eat for dinner?
Yeah, because it's actually a good ending. It's a good ending if the president is a potato chip. That means, that means things are going your way.
And then the no salt is the only one that survived.
Yeah,
no salt.
So chips sold in markets were usually sold in tins or scooped out of storefront glass bins and delivered by horse and wagon. Early potato chip bags were wax paper with the ends ironed or stapled together. So like if you. At first, Hers was pretty much a delivery service. You would, like, place your order for Hers chips, and they would, like, come to you the same way, like, milk would, you know, and just be, like, left on your doorstep.
Oh, that's great. Chips to my door.
Yeah, or you'd be out at an event, and it would be, like, presented to you, like, the same way kind of French fries would be in, like, a paper bag.
Do you think it's the same thing? It was, like, it's the same thing now when people get drunk or high and they order, like, GoPuff at 2 a.m. They're just like, yeah, let's get some chips, man. Let's call that horse to bring chips over.
I get that horse's beeper number.
The horse is like, I gotta take this. I'm sorry.
After 1964, Hers changed the game and sold potato chips in 20-ounce cardboard barrels. This was suggested by a packaging salesman, and the barrels resembled popular packaging for wax-lined ice cream cartons, which were also popular at the time. So this guy who was working in packaging saw a similarity between these two items and was like, you could probably use these ice cream barrels to make the perfect chip container. And so these sturdy barrels were good for stocking, and they kept chips from breaking and stayed fresh in transit. This was like a revolution in mass-producing chips, because now they can send them far and wide.
Yeah. You don't want to eat stale chips.
No, you don't. You absolutely don't.
Some people say you're buying the packaging when you're actually buying a product, even, you know?
That's true.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a really good point. I didn't want to interrupt you, because my favorite part, as I mentioned at the top of the show, my favorite part of Hers, and I guess we're going to be getting to it soon, is the packaging.
Yeah, you should do an unboxing video.
Yeah. Of chips.
Of chips. And then a reaction video.
Hey, guys. With his hands. Don't forget to click like and subscribe.
I do that show 3 times a day.
Don't you hate when people are like, man, please leave us an iTunes review? Isn't that so annoying when people are like, please give us 5 stars on iTunes for Legends of Philadelphia? Isn't that so annoying?
Yeah, that's why we don't do it. That's why we don't talk about it. So the king-style barrels proved popular with consumers, but they also proved costly to transport because they took up so much room, which became a major consideration during a time of oil shortages and rising gasoline prices. In 1977, Hers were forced to discontinue the barrels as a packaging option. So they looked really good in stores, and people liked this delivery method, but it wasn't sustainable because of the oil shortage at the time, but also because you just couldn't ship as many as you could when they were bagged up. So 3 years earlier, the company had started experimenting with new techniques in packaging and had found another way to extend the shelf life of its potato chips. In 1974, most of their competitors were using glassine packaging, which is waxy material like a microwave popcorn bag. Hers switched to a foil material for their products, which they still use to this day. A blast of nitrogen gas blown into the foil bag prior to sealing lengthened the shelf life and provided protection against crushing. Most importantly, the foil bags became a distinctive feature of their brand. So this was 1974, and everyone else has, like, Trove was making fun of
so many things. I'm not sure where you're going to get it.
Yeah, the Andy caps. So Trove was making fun of the Andy caps and the packaging that they still come into today. But this was, like, very revolutionary for 1974, the foil bags.
know what our customers want most? Freshness. Fresh vegetables, fresh fruit.
And fresh potato chips.
Same.
It's true, Martha. Hers is fresher. See those other bags? They let in light, and light can make chips go stale. Hers puts their all-natural chips in foil. Foil keeps out all the light, keeps in all the freshness.
James.
Huh?
You're eating up all the profits.
At Hers, keeping chips fresh is our bag.
They shoot nitrogen air in it?
Yeah, so it's intentional, and it makes so there's no oxygen in there. You deprive the bag of oxygen, and you seal it up, and now there's less a chance, or it takes more time for the chips to go stale.
It's chip science.
Yeah. So when people are complaining about the bag's half full of air, well, that is to protect your precious chips from being crushed into tiny crumbs.
Wow.
Yes. And then the bags sit lightly on top of each other instead of, you know, and then they're protected by a harder cardboard box, et cetera, et cetera. And then
bet you feel stupid now. All those
don't
people.
You feel dumb? Yeah.
They did it because they love you. That's why.
Yeah, and like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the look of the bags is very distinctive. And Trove was saying, like, this is a feature of an actual barbecue, is having a gold barbecue bag of chips, Hers chips, on the picnic table or on the outdoor furniture, just kind of like hanging out amongst the other summertime food, like burgers and hot dogs and things like that. So I think that's like also part of its lasting effect here, at least locally.
People love shiny things. Birds and people love shiny
birds things. And humans.
I think the color coordination is really cool too. Sour cream and onion is green, and like regular flavor is blue, and then the Ruffles is red. Like red and blue are primary, they're essential. So here's your basic chip, and here's your ruffled version of a basic chip. It's red and blue. It's just the color coding works so
yeah,
well.
Yeah, there is some color theory in their packaging. The vinegar being white. The white.
Yes! It's like
salt and vinegar is
and
like...
And that one's not like as shiny, right? I guess you can't really make white shiny, but isn't that like a flat white?
It's a flat white, but the inside
it's flatter white.
Yeah. It's a... Great job, whatever branding agency they hired in the 70s.
I never thought about it, but like I can like, I mean, as you can see, I know all about the chips.
Like if I said a chip flavor, you could probably just instinctively, I mean, the more common flavors, but you know the bag, by the bag color at least.
Sour cream and cheddar is orange.
Yeah, absolutely. What about, do you know what, I mean, this is an easy one, but do you know the Heinz ketchup flavor?
I'm going to guess red.
Yeah, it's a red checker.
I thought it was a trick question. I was going to say green.
Yeah.
No. Nah. Honey barbecue?
It's gold, but it has a B on it, right?
Yeah.
That was a trick question.
That was a trick question. Sweet corn? There's a sweet corn one. That one's a little bit, that's a rare...
Corn.
Hers, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna guess yellow.
Yeah, you're correct.
And then they make the popcorn, which is like that's like a teal and it has like lines
yes.
on it, right?
Yes. Yep.
It's like a vector.
Yep. And then in 2004 I remember they came out with the kettle cooked bags and they kept the color scheme, but they transferred the packaging is different, like the design on the packaging is different. Mm-hmm. So like the flavors carried over. The branding is like so successful that it carries over to different formulas and different marketing strategies. I'm looking here. Is there any of these other ones? Oh, what about salt and pepper? Can you picture the salt and pepper bag in your head?
They're like gray, right?
No. Nope.
They're like black and white, right?
Yeah, they're the checkered. Yeah, they got the ska pattern.
Yes.
Ska. That's chips for ska fans.
Oh, shit. I found the mixed bags. And the mixed bags are like, I'm going to save this for the visual companion so people don't know that Bierman didn't just fever dream it. But the mixed bags are the color combos as well. So cheddar is and sour cream is orange and green. And the bag is like is like divided like down the middle very stylistically.
But if you put them up, it's just going to disappoint everybody because it's just going to be like, oh, this thing I never knew existed and now I know I can't have it also.
You know, I think people should start a letter writing campaign. I definitely think it's worth bringing them back. Oh, I found dill. Dill is not an attractive bag.
You're creating a collector's market, you know.
Yeah.
You're talking about it. You're gonna get other people into it, and then everyone's bidding on it. And
Zito has stock in it. He has stock in hers, I think.
That's why we're doing this episode.
That's why he's doing it.
I'm telling you, Jim Herr believes in his product. He ate chips for lunch that day.
Yeah, I prefer the Herr's texture to something like Lay's, which is like, oh, look how light our chip is. And it's like, it just crumbles. It doesn't like have any, it doesn't hold the flavor. It's just like, it's like a wafer. It's like a light crumbly wafer. Yeah. Herr's, you know that came from a potato.
And like the ripples, if you dip something in that, that shit's not breaking, dude. That's
nope.
Hard as a rock.
Yep. Those are great chips for dipping.
Structural chip integrity.
It's a load-bearing chip.
This is one of those episodes where it's like it's on my way home. It's like, I'm going to get every kind of chips for dinner.
Every food episode, I go and have that thing that week, and I like binge on it.
Chips all over.
Throughout the late 70s and early 80s, Herr's potato chips developed more products than the usual potato chips. They expanded, and in 1976, they developed cheese curls. In 1978, they introduced popcorn. In 1981, they introduced pretzels, and in 1984, they introduced onion rings.
I'm going to tell you guys a secret. It's not a secret, but cheese curls, I can't be around them. Well, that sounds weird, but like my mom used to eat them, and like even the smell of them makes me like...
Really?
Makes me nauseous. It's like...
Were you attacked by a cheese curl? Did you choke on a cheese curl
as
a kid?
No, when I was a kid,
Let's get into it, Brian.
This is probably for my therapist, not for our podcast. my grandma would go to like AC Moore and shit, and I would walk around, and you know they have like those styrofoam balls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that's what, like the inside of that chip reminds me of the cheese curls. It reminds me of styrofoam, and it freaks me out. And like, I'm serious. Like my mom, like if she was eating them, it was like, I couldn't even be like around it. Like I would have to go upstairs.
What about doodles? What about the Cheetos?
Yeah, the long ones.
The doodles don't bother me as much, but.
And so I guess
it's
not
the texture of.
It's gotta be the styrofoam.
Mm. And the cheese balls, like if you get a barrel of cheese balls, you're okay with that?
Just keep them away from me. But I can
look.
The same
I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but I do think that AC Moore has its own smell too. When it was open, it had its own smell, and they all smell the same. I'm interested to see if the new
like
Michaels, if the new Michaels is going to smell like AC Moore.
Michaels brings its own smell. They bring in the ventilators, and they just pump the air full of Michael's smell.
Their smells, yeah.
I want an AC Moore candle.
It smells like AC Moore.
This is another business that we're promoting. Our show is a commercial, but it's for other
big businesses. McDonald's, what a company.
Yeah.
So now we're getting to it. We're getting to the Herr's.
Now we're getting to the scandalous, the Herr's scandals.
I just think it's this is the part I was anticipating. I really wanted to talk about because this is something Bierman's always wanted to do. So I wanted to hear his opinions on this. But the Herr's Visitor Center was constructed in 1989, and it is adjacent to the Nottingham, Pennsylvania plant. Tour guides lead guests through both visitor center and the actual plant itself. The tours last approximately 1 hour. Here, tourists learn about the company and the chip-making process through a film that features a Jim Henson puppet mascot, Chipper the Chipmunk.
Oh, is it actually Jim Henson made it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's official.
That's funny, because he sucks, and usually Jim Henson Muppets are good.
You're not a fan? Wait.
Take that, champ.
You for a brand that you love, there's a lot of things you don't like about it. But I guess that's what you say about a lot of people. People say a lot of Star Wars fans are like that too, you know. a lot of Superman fans are like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Leave us out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not Let's not get that person started.
These would be a
whoever,
if you're
whoever
a fan,
they are. It sounds,
if you're, whoever that guy
if you're,
is. If you're
a fan,
that one guy.
It sounds like you don't. It sounds like you hate it. If, whatever.
So Bierman, you were familiar with Chipper the Chipmunk? I was not.
Yeah, I wished him well when I wrote the letter. That was my last line of the letter.
But you didn't mean it. Okay. You didn't mean it.
No. I was trying to be nice because I wanted those chips.
You're trying to, yeah.
A chipper.
Yeah, you're playing a part. You're just trying to.
I'm a liar.
You're just trying to get something.
A sociopath, some would say.
Sociopath.
You pretended to be that puppet's friend.
I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but I think Bierman likes potato chips.
Are you not a psychiatrist? I definitely thought that was what you were doing on this podcast.
I'm not a mental health professional.
Why are you wearing that lab coat and stethoscope if you're not a doctor?
But it says so on your MySpace page. Dr. Groovy.
Dr. Groovy.
I thought it was funny.
That was funny.
On the tour, visitors will travel through the numerous processing rooms for each particular product that HERS sells. Each room is made of glass, allowing the tourists to view the cutting and cooking process.
Look, but don't touch, Mr. Bierman.
Yeah. I heard 7 people have died in the pretzel area. They don't tell you that. And they move the body to a hospital outside, so nobody actually dies at the HERS factory.
I heard there's underground city there too. Wow. Where all the people who work there party and have escape routes in case any shit goes down. Yeah,
and Chipper's not invited, but he rats them out.
Well, normal people aren't invited to that section of the HERS pretzel factory.
Normal
at least
people.
Not on the tour. In the pretzel area, you will gaze upon a 100-yard stretch of pretzel twists in rows of 20 to 40 across, marching in massive ovens to be cooked and then chopped. Every room is huge, with everything moving and the savory smell of fresh potato chips and dough in the air. After the pretzel room, you walk into the famous chip area, where people would see chips, and according to Watch It Made, quote, traveling along the conveyor belt through a series of machines that wash, slice, cook, and season the chips, end quote. Before leaving the chip room, a tour guide will grab some freshly seasoned chips right off the conveyor belt for the tourists, and everyone will get a little sample as a nice finishing touch to the end of the tour. Yeah. When the tour finally comes to an end, you will receive a fresh bag of chips, which leads you to the specially designed visitor center, cafe, and gift shop. Always exits through the gift shop.
Still warm, the bag of chips.
Still warm, the way they're intended to be eaten.
Yeah.
Hot.
You're supposed to put them in the microwave.
Bierman, you never made it to the...
No, I was supposed to...
I never made it to the factory tour.
Story a while back, but yeah, I was like, I want to go there. And I kept bugging my mom, and she was like, I don't know. And then I went to the park, and I was like, guess what, everybody? I'm going to the HERS factory. And then, like, I went home, and it was, like, 5, and I'm like, so, are we going? She's like, what? No, we're not fucking going to the HERS factory.
It's, like, an hour 20 from here. Like, it's definitely, like...
It was, like, 5 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, are we going now?
It's definitely your day if you're going out there.
Yeah, it's a whole day.
Jim HERS retired as company chair in favor of J.M. HERS in January 2005, but remained on the board of directors until his death. Jim HERS died on April 5th, 2012, at the age of 87. Ed HERS and J.M. HERS assumed the roles of president and executive chairman, respectively. So that's
Ed
HERS
is the guy you met, right?
That's probably it, yeah. But so, I mean, if that's his son, that means he grew up eating these chips. That means he ate them his whole life.
Yeah. Just like us.
Just like us.
Yes. Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I'm telling you, everything, he didn't even have nothing to drink. They put a bunch of chips into a blender.
And he drank
it. He drank it. like a chip smoothie. Like, I'm telling you.
They put the bag in there, too.
The bag.
The bag. Their logo is so simple, but iconic. It's just a rectangle that's, like, weird looking. Like,
kind
it's
of
not
askew.
A regular. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy the logo. I also really like the trucks. The trucks have a distinctive look as well. Blue on the bottom, white on top, and the tag, the logo you just mentioned straight across the middle, like kind of like binding them together or locking them together. It's really cool. I just drove one by one yesterday on my way back from the store where I bought Hershey chips.
And he yelled at the guy. He was like, I just bought some.
I was like, yeah.
I was like, wow.
Gives you the fingers. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I should have bought them off.
Why this guy always bothering me? There he is again.
I'm off the road. Actually, it had a sign. It had a sign on the truck. We're now hiring. So
the other sign said, please don't talk to me.
As of July 2016, Hers produces 37 different potato chip varieties, many of which we talked about on this episode.
What are some rare ones? I don't know. We named like seven. What are the other 30? I guess they make pretzels and shit.
Well, these are flavors of chips.
Oh, just chips, 37?
Yeah. I got a whole list of them. You tell me. Yeah, I don't. I think there's a few you haven't heard of on here because there's a few that caught me by surprise. Like I know Old Bay, but I don't know Ragin' Ranch, Buffalo Blue Cheese, horseradish, hard word for me to say. Baby back ribs. I've never had baby back ribs. That sounds delicious. If you guys find a 50-cent bag of those, let me know.
Yes.
Kansas City steak.
What does that
specific.
Mean?
What?
Is that when they like burn the steak and they, it's not right? Isn't that or that's Pittsburgh? I don't know. What's a Kansas City
steak?
It's
gotta be like A1 flavored.
I don't know.
You know? Hot sauce makes sense. Pretty generic though. Jalapeno, a little bit more specific. Habanero. Thick cut potato chips. We've all seen thick cut potato chips. There's nothing new here. Old fashioned butter sticks. Never saw that one.
What?
I don't want anything to do with that.
Acme, you are slacking.
It tastes like butter.
I'll write a letter to CVS.
You got a hookup at CVS. Maybe they can get some.
Yeah.
And then there's the changing cheddar magic popcorn.
What?
Magic?
Changing cheddar magic popcorn.
What's magic about it? What does
it changes?
It change?
I guess it changes color. In addition, there are more traditional varieties such as barbecue, kettle cooked, sour cream and onion, cheddar and sour cream, salt and pepper, ketchup, habanero, creamy ranch, and salt and vinegar.
We got to try them all.
Yeah. At the same time.
At the same. No, they don't want you to do that. They don't want you.
That's not how it's intended. No, that's not how the chef intended you to.
It's like sushi. You have to eat a piece of ginger to clear your palate before each
between
flavor.
Each one.
Yes. can be putting ketchup on your steak, you know?
No.
But fans do eagerly anticipate new releases. In January 2016, Hers released a picture on social media previewing a new crab fry flavored potato chip in partnership with Chickies and Pete's, a sports bar in South Philly. Yeah.
I actually reviewed these. I had a column where I reviewed junk food.
So earlier when you were joking about we should review potato chips, you actually do review potato chips.
I didn't think about it until now, but yeah, I did actually do that.
Everybody like and subscribe to Bierman's potato chip review blog.
Years ago, doesn't count.
My old life. I gave that up.
His old life.
Now you just eat them for pleasure. Now you just eat them for the love.
Yeah. Because I want to be a fan of chips. I don't want to be a critic, you know? I don't want to lose the magic.
Well, Hers planned to release the chips in stores a couple of months after the announcement. However, the chips were released 1 month after the image went live on the internet in February due to rabid popular demand. They were getting hassled so much that they pushed up the release of the chip. What did you think of them, Bierman? Were they any good?
Kind of tasted like Chickies and Pete's crab fries, but they weren't as good because crab fries are pretty great.
I kind of remember them, and I like the Old Bay Hers flavor better.
Better?
Yeah.
They didn't get the cheese. Like, they couldn't get the cheese, and that's the best part.
That's the best part.
That's what makes them, right. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them Chickies and Pete's. So, Hers continues to experiment and release new flavors, limited edition things like the combo bags we've talked about multiple times.
A little too limited.
And we talked about how good the branding is of the bags. And anybody who's a fan of The Office, and it turns out lots of people are because it's all that people were subscribing to Netflix for. A subplot of an Office episode features Jim Halpert and Karen Filippelli spending the workday searching for a package of Hers salt and vinegar potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
Hot take. Jim should have stayed with Karen.
Oh!
Wow. That's its own podcast.
Yeah, Karen was pretty great. She didn't have a downside.
I believe that. And I believe that. I don't stand down. I don't stand down from that belief. I know there's others like me.
No, Jim and Pam were meant for each other.
No, I'll
right.
tell you, Karen's a catch.
Karen was a catch. But...
She goes on to do great things. I went and posted this on the office's subreddit like years ago, and I
he had to change his Reddit name. He's like, I can't use this anymore.
I couldn't use my Reddit anymore. I got downvoted to oblivion, but I know there's some believers. I know I'm not alone. Wow. Sorry, hot takes.
That's the hottest take of all.
I kind of agree. I just, season 3 is a really good season. And so, and Karen's a big part of that. I think she's, funny. And then it's cool the way they bring her back. She goes on and, excels, does better than Michael does even inside the company. I am a big fan of The Office. I just subscribed to another streaming network to watch The Office on Peacock. And, they have a season 3 expanded episodes right now, and there's an episode where Kevin Malone makes a quesadilla out of Hers potato chips and Cheese Whiz that was not in the original airing of the show.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That's my plug for another streaming network this week.
So do you think Hers was, like, super happy that, like, I mean, I had to have been, right? Like,
Hers and Tasty Cake are in the background of this show constantly. They're always there. They may not make a big deal out of them. I don't know if they had a deal with the companies, but Tasty Cake was obviously cool about it because in almost every episode, there's boxes of Tasty Cakes on top of the fridge in the break room.
How do I make this Pennsylvanian? I know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Pennsylvania leads the United States in potato chip production and has been dubbed the potato chip capital by snack food enthusiasts around the world.
Suck a dick, South Dakota.
Idaho, what's up now?
Honestly, I feel like people I'm friendly with who are from Pennsylvania, not like western part of the state or central, have all like had a part-time job in some way in the fast food. Or not fast food, like this sort of snack food like business. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, like I worked where they dusted all the chips or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's as Philadelphians, we're like, wow. But in the rest of the state, I feel like it's very common. I don't know if that's a bold statement to say about Pennsylvanians.
No, I think it's very true. I mean, potato chip companies from Pennsylvania include Utz Quality Food, Hers Snacks, Snyder's of Berlin, Snyder's of Hanover, Martin's Potato Chip, Wise Foods, Charles Chips, and then our friend Stu turned us on to Middlesworth Potato Chips, which is a local brand out from where he is from, and they're delicious as well. They're you can only get them from their stores.
The finest potatoes in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a potato chip fan, Pennsylvania is a great place to live.
Yeah, you're living in the golden age of chips.
Yeah. I mean, earlier we were talking about, what other local brands might be. But we're spoiled here. We have so many brands to choose from. Wise is pretty good, too. I like a lot of Wise's
flavors. Wise is a salty. They're like the saltiest chips, and I love.
Yeah.
They're hard to find, but they're pretty great.
And they got great packaging as well.
Yep. The owl logo.
Yep. So if Hers isn't your bag, we understand. There's plenty of potato chips out there in PA to choose from.
Bag.
Please tell us your favorite brand. Is it based in PA? Does it come from somewhere else? Does where you're from have a local snack food company that we should try? Let us know. We like food.
Will you buy us some?
Yeah.
Can Beerman have some? Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know if it's better than Hers.
And so then we'll be like, you suck. Bring us different chips.
Bring us different chips.
Bring me different chips.
More flavors.
Mix them together.
That's pretty much all I got. What about you guys? Is there anything you want to add?
I can literally, we could be here all day talking about chips. So
volume one.
Wait, real quick before we stop. So when you get to the end of the bag, say you eat like most of the chips, it's the end of the bag. There's just like crumbs left. Do you dump them in your mouth or do you?
Absolutely.
No, you're an animal.
What do you do?
I know what he does.
I grab them with my fingers. And I lick my disgusting
lick your fingers, and then it sticks to
you. Lick your disgusting fingers?
Yeah.
I'm with Beerman.
No, you guys are gross.
Tell it like it is, all right?
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care.
I'm not trying to look fancy.
Well, good, because you don't.
I heard Zito eats chips with a knife and fork.
Yeah, it's pinky up, dude.
Real fancy.
Oh, fancy.
That's how Jim Herr and his wife Mimi Hershey intended it to be.
And they're like chips that us regular people don't have, like caviar flavored chips, like that we can never buy, you know.
Yeah, lobster chip.
Lobster, yeah.
Yeah, champagne chips.
I'll have the Fra Diavolo chips, thank you.
Nobody told you guys about the flan chips, right? Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about Herr's potato chips. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. We just dropped a Herr's-inspired sticker. It's on our website. Came out Wednesday. Check out the Instagram.
It says John's. John's. Instead of Herr's, it says John's. And it says extra salty.
That's perfect.
Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. Tell us what your favorite flavor is. Tell us what your favorite brand of chip is. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, and wear a mask.
Salt and vinegar. Salt and vinegar.
Barbecue.
Salt
Bye,
vinegar.
Barbecue.
Salt and vinegar. Salt and vinegar. Barbecue. Salt and vinegar. Yeah. Salt and vinegar.